But with that, Sharon's going to talk about family talk. As today, that's our theme today. We're talking about families. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sharon. All right, Sharon.
Thank you, Dan. Could you guys turn your chairs around so I could see your lovely faces before we get started? And then let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these next few moments. I pray that you would govern our thoughts and our words and our deeds. Lord, I pray that you would govern my speech and that you, Holy Spirit, would translate what everybody needs to hear. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. All right. Well, this morning has come out of Mother's Day. I was privileged to be on a three-person panel. And one of the questions by the way, I've been on this journey about the whole idea of family for several years, and Dan has gotten an earful. Every time he would say the word family several years ago, I would just bristle because of experiences, okay? So I'm on this journey with family, and that's kind of where this is coming from. Also, just different coffees I've had with some of you. I'm so glad we got to eat together this morning. So now we're just going to have a chat. Except I'm doing all the talking, so sorry. I would love to sit down and have coffee with any of you, though, so or ice cream or whatever. So, all right, we're all the family of God, right? If you're a believer in Christ, we're all the family of God. Healthy singles, healthy marriages equals a healthy church. So the goal is to be healthy in our relationships, in our families. One of the questions on Mother's Day was, what would you say to those younger mothers to encourage them? And that got me thinking. So we answered those on Mother's Day, obviously. And that got me to thinking, what do I wish I would have known, say, when I was 12 and under, or a teenager, or a young married person? So that's where this is coming from, just so you know. So we're just going to pretend that we're all having ice cream or coffee or whatever you're preferences, and we're all at a big table, and we're just talking, okay? So, how many 12 and unders are in here? Wave at me. Oh, please. I've seen you in Kids Point. I know that you can do better than that. Okay, three that I see anyway. Four? Okay, anyway. All right. Well, first of all, thank your parents that you're here, because that tells me that they are concerned about your spiritual well-being. And you guys probably don't understand this maybe now, but that is the most important thing in your life, because that determines where you're going to go eternally, your walk with Jesus. Okay, so I hope you're thankful that your parents love you enough to bring you here. The other thing that I wish I would have known or had somebody come alongside me, by the way, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I was 19 when I got saved, so I didn't know any of this stuff growing up, which is why I wish I could just download it into you. I pray that you really hear me this morning. Know that you are a reward from God to your parents. Did you know that? You kids are a reward to your parents. Now, that being said, I hope you know that in your heart. But that being said, you know, if you're being naughty and you're in trouble, please don't say, well, Mrs. Sharon said I'm a reward, so don't be mad at me. No, don't do that. Please don't do that. But you are a reward from God. You're special. You're individually all special. Know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are not a mistake. Psalm 139, 13 and 14 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are. God's talking to you this morning. You were created to be a boy or a girl according to God's plan. You're not a mistake, because God doesn't make mistakes. So you're not too short, too tall, too red-haired, too curly-haired, too straight-haired, too fat, too skinny. You're not any of those things. Now, some of those things you can change, and we're all supposed to work on being more healthy, and we're always supposed to work on our character and become more Christ-like. But who you are at your core, the way God made you, he gave you your specific giftings and strengths and even weaknesses. So be happy that you are who you are. So with that, in our world today, you guys are facing tremendous pressure and so many lies. Which, do you know where lies come from? They come from Satan. He's the father of lies. So the idea that if you're a girl, you can become a boy, or if you're a boy, you can become a girl, that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. And you are allowed to say, shut up, Satan, get out of my life, in Jesus' name. You're allowed to speak to Satan that way. You have the authority. If you're a Christ follower, you have that authority. And please, if you start hearing that whisper, even in your head or through a friend or even a teacher, the truth is that is a lie straight from the pit of hell. God created you to be a boy or a girl. So be happy with that. And if you're struggling in that area, tell your mom and dad. Go to them, okay? Know that God loves you. Let him be your BFF. And I know that sounds like a cliche. It's like, oh, I can't even see him. Well, that's true. But he's always with you. And he says to pour your heart out before the Lord. There's a psalm that talks about that. So he wants to know all of your joys, all of your struggles, even your anger at your parents sometimes. He wants to hear it all. He already knows it all, so you just as well tell him. And he wants you to come to him. Open-armed, he wants to hear you. So know that God loves you. Okay, you guys can breathe easy now because I'm moving on to the teenagers. How many teenagers in here? Okay, like I said, I didn't know the Lord growing up. I got saved at age 19. So, oh, I forgot. You kids, know that you can facilitate peace in your home by obeying your mom and dad. Ooh, I know that's a tough one. Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life. Sorry, I flipped back to the 12 and unders, but really it applies to all of us. Obey your parents in the Lord. Now, if they tell you to go rob a bank, you have permission not to obey them, right? You obey God first, and then authorities on the earth. Okay, so also know that the choices you make now affect your tomorrows. For example, if you slough off on being a good student now, you're developing a really bad habit, which if you don't change it, you're going to be a really bad employee or a bad spouse. So work on those character issues now. If you're developing an attitude of habitual selfishness and self-centeredness and disrespectfulness now, chances are you could be a selfish and self-centered adult. Doesn't mean you can't change, but I'm telling you, if you learn this stuff at your age, it's much easier. It's harder to break a bad habit when you've had more years doing that bad habit. Doesn't mean you can't with God's help. I'm just saying, work on character building now. So, make your bed, clean your room, honor and obey mom and dad. And when you're older, it'll be much easier to submit to those in authority, which, by the way, you will always have somebody who is in authority in your life. For you kids right now, it's mom and dad and teachers. When you're older and you get a job, which probably seems like it's way out there, but trust me, before you know it, you'll have gray hair like me, and you'll wonder, where did all the time go? Am I right, older people? Yeah, they're all nodding their heads, so you just got to trust us on this. Thank you. Yes. So you'll always have someone that you have to submit to. It'll just look a little different. Always. Even if it's just God, you always submit to God. All right, now teenagers. I'm sorry. Raise your hand again. Hey. Woo, yeah. Okay, what do I wish I would have known at your age? And if I could pound this into you, I would, honestly. Because like I said, I didn't know Jesus at your age. Well, I was 19, but that's the latter part of being a teenager. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, above all else, I underlined it, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. No relationship, no activity, no education, or even a job should be more important than Christ in your life. And even if you get married later on, Christ is still to be number one in your life. Does that mean you neglect all these other things? No. It just means proportionally, Christ is first and foremost in your life. And then all of those other things come in. And if you're out of balance, then you probably need to make some hard decisions and cut something out, perhaps. But guard your heart. Stay pure. Stay pure. Ephesians 5:3, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. And I thought it was interesting that the writer only said sexual immorality and greed in this particular section of scripture. That's an interesting combination to me. That's just kind of a side note. Excuse me. So how do you stay pure? Saturate yourself in the Word of God. Saturate yourself in the Word of God. Read it. Listen to it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. Talk to your friends about it. But know it. How can you know if something is a lie or not if you're not saturating yourself in the truth of God's Word? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Word says. How do you stay pure? Set up boundaries now. In the old days when a couple were courting, which, by the way, was with the intent of marriage, it wasn't just, I'm going to see how this goes. No, they were planning on getting married. They courted. That's a whole other subject. But in the old days, when they were doing that, they always had to have a chaperone with them. They could not be alone by themselves. That's wise counsel. That's just wise counsel for any with the opposite sex. Guard yourself. Guard your heart. One thing I did, well, let me back up. If you're struggling in an area, have mom and dad pray with you. Be vulnerable and open. Mom and dads, don't freak out. If they come to you and say, hey, I messed up in this or that area, I'm really having a problem, don't freak out, because then they won't want to come to you again. So go to mom and dad. If you don't feel like you can go to mom and dad, find a godly elder, emphasis on godly, a follower of Christ that's solid in the Lord. Go to them, be real with them, spill your guts, and say, I need help. There's no shame in asking for help. And a lot of times when you get something like a sin that you're struggling with, if you bring it into the light, that helps overcome it. Because you're admitting that you need help with this or that area. One thing that I did to help myself was I wanted to be married. That was my goal, was to just to be a wife. I don't mean just, because that's a high calling, but to be a wife and a mom, okay? I was 19, and I didn't get married until I was 27. That's an 8-year gap of longing for a spouse. So to help me overcome and to stay pure, I got myself a ring with a real gem in it. I don't know that it was a diamond, but a real. And I wore it on my ring finger because God's my husband. God is my husband. And for me, it was a visual, constant reminder to be faithful to the Lord and to wait on Him. Later, when I got married to Tim, I moved that ring to my other hand, and now my married to Tim ring is on this finger. But whatever it takes, you guys, to help you guys stay pure. Make an accountability group with your friends. Help each other to stay on track. Find some two or three good friends to help you to stay on track. Whatever it takes, stay pure, because you don't want to carry a bunch of baggage into your marriage if you get married later, okay? You also can help facilitate peace in your home by obeying mom and dad in the Lord. Again, Ephesians 6:1-3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life. Listen to your parents' counsel and godly people around you. Godly people around you. Emphasis on godly. Proven record. You know, nobody's perfect, but you can know somebody by their fruits. Don't shut out elders' wisdom. If you want to know how not to act, read 1 Kings 12:1-8 about Rehoboam rejecting the elders' counsel and listening to his peers or his age group. I'm not going to go there this morning, but please, I encourage you to read 1 Kings 12:1-8. Parents, maybe even read through it with your kiddos and see the response of Rehoboam to the godly or the elders' counsel. Also, you teenagers, use your time wisely. Develop that habit, like I said before. Before you know it, you'll be my age, and you'll wonder where all the time went. My mom used to say, "Time goes faster the older you get," and I would like roll my eyes and say, "Yeah, whatever, mom." I don't know why. It's still 24 hours in a day. But time really does go faster when you get older. I don't know. You'll have to ask God about it, but it's true. It's true. All right, you guys can breathe now because I'm moving on to the adults. How many adults in the room? Woo! All right, singles, this is geared more towards family, husband, wives, and children. But you're not exempt because you're a part of the family of God, and you know husbands, wives, and children, and you yourself were a child at one time too. So you're not exempt. You can always encourage those who are married and struggling. So Ephesians 5:21-28, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Who loves his wife, he who loves his wife loves himself. That's a lot. If we could all get verse 21 right, I think that would take a lot of conflict out of our families. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It goes both ways. If we all got verse 21 right, that would take care of conflict in our families. I looked up the word submit again. I had looked it up years ago, and I forget stuff easily, as Dan knows. He's laughing. anyway, submit, the Greek word hupotasso. By the way, men and women are equal at the foot of the cross. Right? We're all equal at the foot of the cross. Anyway, I just had to say that. Submit, because submit has a bad reputation in the context of marriage because of abuses that have happened. Like, you know, men, go get me my drink, you know, with his club or whatever. And women being the doormat. Or wives not respecting their, you know, it goes both ways. Wives not respecting their husbands, and just, it works the other way too. But anyway, the word submit, hupotasso, it comes from the root hupo, which means under, inferior position or condition. But I love that word under in the context of marriage. And tasso, the last part of it, means, and this, by the way, was an aha moment for me when I was preparing for this. Tasso is to arrange in an orderly manner to assign or depose to a certain position or lot, appoint, determine, ordain. So it was like a light bulb went off for me in the context of these verses in Ephesians. Submission is simply God's order. It's not a bad word, you guys. It's not bad. It's not a bad word. It just is God's order. God's a God of order, and this is His order for families. Notice in Ephesians, I don't know, Drew, can we go back to that? Ephesians 5, 21 and 22. Thank you. Notice it says, or it doesn't say wives submit only when your husband is being loving. It doesn't say it that way. And it doesn't say husbands love your wives when they are being submissive. It just says wives submit to your husbands as to the Lord, and then later on husbands love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Each of those entities has some real challenges in it. But that's what his word says. So, wives and husbands, stay in your lane. You just do what you are supposed to do, regardless of what your spouse is or isn't doing. You do what you're supposed to do. Wives, part of the order is to submit to your husbands. Does that mean you can't speak or, you know, you just have to blindly, yes, sir, you know, sir? No, that doesn't mean that at all. But it means in your heart. In your heart, just know that God's order, man is the head of the family. That's the way God set it up. By the way, back in Genesis, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they both ate it. But if you go back and read it, God went to Adam and said, "Why did you eat the fruit?" I just find that interesting. I don't know what that means. I'm just laying that out. I believe it's part of just the order. It's just God's order. If you're mad at me, please don't be. Take it up with God. Or if you have a different thought and you think I'm missing something, let me know. I'm open to that too, but that's just what I've read and understood. So this is God's order. Years ago, let me back up. We go through ups and downs all through life. Okay, ups and downs, mountaintop experiences, valleys, and then another mountaintop experience, valleys. You young people, if you get married, you're going to have, by the way, when you get married, you know, when you're dating, you're all Twitter-pated, and it's like, oh, this is so exciting, right? If you don't know what Twitter-pated means, ask your mom and dad or watch Bambi, okay? Okay. So it's just life is up and down. It's just cyclical like that. It's not all going to be on a high plane. You're going to have rough times. So when you get married, go into marriage wide-eyed open, eyes wide open. Just know that. Know you're going to have hard times. Is it a blessing? Yes, it is. But there's also those hard times you go through. Anyway, so I was mowing in our backyard. This has been years and years and years ago. And I had transplanted a tree in our backyard, and it looked dead. It was probably 12 inches tall, but it looked like a dry, dead stick. And I'm mowing around the backyard, and I was complaining to the Lord because Tim and I were apparently going through something, which I don't even remember what it was. But I said, "Lord, I feel like my marriage is like that branch. It's just dead and dry." And I kept mowing, and I felt like the Lord said, "Water it." And so I started arguing with the Lord, which, by the way, is never a good thing to do because you're arguing with the creator of the universe who knows everything there ever is and was and is to be. So that's never a good idea. However, I was. It's like, well, Lord, why would I? Why should I water it? It's dead. It's dry. And I felt like he said, water it. So I did. And I am not kidding you guys. I am not exaggerating. Truthfully, it was like 2 weeks later, that thing had green leaves on it. It had green leaves on it. And today, I look out our kitchen window, and it is taller than the house, and it's providing shade and a place for the squirrels and the birds to play in. But I had to water it. What's my point? Sometimes you have to take the first step. You have to obey. My point is, you have to obey the word regardless of what the other person is doing. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying Tim was doing anything wrong during that time. I just remember that time and what I felt. I had to change. I had to change. And when I started watering, just like if you start watering your marriage by obeying the word of God, you just don't know how that's going to affect or bring life to your marriage. Anyway, that's my backyard story. You make the first move. Marriage is about making us more Christ-like, not just making us happy, which that was a really surprise to me. It's like, oh, it's not all about me. Nope. Young people, listen up. It's more about being a servant. It's more about building your character in Christ. Marriage is supposed to be an example of Christ and his bride. I think that's why the wording here is so definite and explicit. Christ first, spouses second, children third, and then everything else. And I know that when you're married, you know, and it's just the two of you, it's easier to keep Christ first, and then you start having babies, and it's like time goes, and you're exhausted, and, you know, and then the men have jobs typically, and women work too, and it just gets harder and harder. But always keep Christ first, personally, and as a family. And I'm convinced that if we would do that, our society would look totally different. Parents, I'm convinced that the greatest gift we can give our children is to love God first and then love each other well. I grew up in a home that was, mom and dad were pretty volatile. And so for me, that was very unstabling. So if you can love each other well, and then love your children, you're giving them a great gift, a great gift. Marriage is to be an example of Christ and his bride. I said that. The only perfect marriage, I heard this on the radio, and then I'm about done. The only perfect marriage is between Christ and his bride. So young people, if you're going into marriage expecting it to be perfect, just don't, because it's not going to be perfect. You're two imperfect people trying to make the best. You know, with God's help, it'll be beautiful, but you're two imperfect people. You're going to go through rough times. And, you know, the Lord will allow that to grow you in your walk with him. Iron sharpens iron, and that's not always comfortable when you're being graded. So, the only perfect marriage is between Christ and his bride. And in conclusion, God created families, including the family of God, for our good and for his glory. And I think there's a slide for that. There we go. There it is. So thanks for having coffee with me this morning. God bless you.